Morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Happy Father's Day. Probably there's an expectation, since it's Father's Day, to hear something about Father's Day, and I guess that's my intent. Father's Day, just like so many other special days that we set apart for special things, probably has a different meaning for all of us. This may depend on how good of a relationship we have with our father, how old or young we may be, whether our father has passed on or not, and we could go on down the list. We may have mixed feelings during special times like this. But there's one father who's perfect, that knows and understands us. There's one father who will never let us down. There's one father who can heal hurts, wounds, and scars like no other. There is one Father that can unite us all in spite of our differences, cares, struggles, and difficulties. There is one Father who can teach us to be good fathers. I want to think about a father's legacy this morning, the title, The Legacy of a Father. First of all, for introduction, what do you think of as the legacy of a father? The kind of legacy that we as fathers might leave our children, or as children, what we might expect to receive from our fathers. Maybe it would be good to define legacy. A legacy is a gift of money handed down through a will. More broadly, it refers to anything passed on by a predecessor or from an earlier time, including ideas, traditions, or lasting impacts on future generations. So that definition focuses mostly on temporal things, and not so much spiritual things. That would be how we would view it without God, you could say, or the worldly view. It's more about the tangible things left behind in regards to legal things, financial things, personal things, cultural things, and so on. Those things have their place and value, but as we know, there are more important values, lessons, and eternal things that we should be concerned about in regards to a legacy. Here's a definition that takes it a bit closer to what we're thinking about. A father's legacy is the lasting impact he leaves on his children and community, shaped by his actions, values, and character. It extends far beyond wealth, encompassing emotional support, moral guidance, and life lessons. This could be work ethic and responsibility, integrity and honesty, compassion and service, patience and listening. A father's legacy really should be all of the above, but it must be based on the solid foundation, solid faith and belief of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have more moral values and so on, and so many good things that we pass on or receive from our fathers, and still miss the true meaning of life and the true meaning of our Heavenly Father. Psalm 78, verses 5 through 7. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. We hear the importance here in these verses of teaching values and God's word to the generations following. But the key focus is about God's word and hope in God. Don't forget where the good things come from. We strive to be good fathers, but the depths of a good father are going to be from the depths of a sincere heart that is serving God. Fathers, what kind of legacy are we building? We need to be making intentional spiritual investments. It's so easy to get caught up in the temporary earthly security that we implied about already, wealth, reputation, and comfort, instead of eternal treasures. Do we actively think about what we are actually building? The earthly things and cares of this world can simply become a house of cards that will begin to fall apart long before we even possibly consider the idea of passing on a legacy, long before we even realize what is happening. But the fact is, we are building a legacy, one way or another. Let's take to heart the need to pass on a meaningful and eternal legacy that can bless our children and others in the things of God for generations to come. I have several points I would like to expand on and see what we can learn from God's word in regards to fathers leaving a godly legacy. I think I'm probably only going to scratch the surface, but first of all, we need to be established in God's word. We can't pass on something we don't have or are unsure of ourselves. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Some of these verses I'm going to read quickly, but you're welcome to turn there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Is that how established you are in God's word? Is it part of your heart and soul? We must be passionate about it, and passionate about our children knowing about it. That's what happens when it is part of your life, and you have a sure foundation. You will be passionate about it. It's not just a Sunday thing or when others are watching. It's life as a whole. When we have Christ as the sure foundation, it brings stability and growth. And not only for us, but also for our families and those around us. Fathers, we are imperfect and human enough, let alone being careless and indifferent about the importance of bringing stability into our life. We think we are macho, strong, and invincible. Often we think we have life figured out, and God does give gifts and roles for us as men to fill. But those gifts and roles are only complete and upbuilding when we have Christ guiding that, when God is in focus and we are sincere. And when we are sincere, I believe God fills in some of those gaps that we miss. Look at so many of the faithful men, faithful fathers in God's word. They were not perfect men. Noah, Abraham, King David, just for a few examples. They were human just like we are. They faced realities of life, temptations, and struggles just like we do. Sometimes we look at faithful men and see them as exceptional. And faithful men are an exception in this day and age. But what I mean by that is that it wasn't they themselves that made them who they were or the legacy they left behind. Yes, real hard choices have to be made, and it is our decisions that place us where God can work. But God is the one that makes the difference. If you look through the faith chapters there in Hebrews, the faith chapter in Hebrews 11, I guess it is, for so many of them, somewhere in the Bible you will see their humanity and weakness. You will perhaps see their sin. What made the difference? How did they end up in the faith chapter of the Bible? It is brokenness, openness to God, repentance. Seek to become more like God. Seek to be what He wants you to be. The foundation cannot be built upon ourselves or the things of this world. Press on in one direction, the upward direction. And when we face our sinfulness and humanity and growth rather than excuse, God does help us to build and become strong. God will help us to be faithful. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How do we establish a foundation that lasts? Children, you too remember the story of the wise man and the foolish man. How the wise man built upon the rock and the foolish man built upon the sand. The floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. The house on the rock stood firm, and the house on the sand, well, fell flat. How about we sing that song? It's churches for the children too, right? So let's sing that song, 3 verses. And on the second verse, if bass feels like singing an octave lower than the rest, that's fine. Add a little bit of dramatic to it. The wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock.
And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the house on the sand fell flat. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings will come down. The blessings will come down as your prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. So build your life on the Lord.
Thank you. It's the same principle for all of us, not just for the fathers. But as we know, we are speaking more directly to fathers this morning. The work, the effort, the materials, the time, and the seemingly expensive stuff often has so much to do with the foundation and how sure it really is. That expensive stuff could include money, but it really has to do with the hard things, the things that require sacrifice and commitment to make something good and solid. It's more than just liking good things and the things of God. It's becoming familiar with God's word, binding them for a sign upon thine hand, frontlets between thine eyes. Write it everywhere. Say it everywhere. Say it often. Bible reading is part of a sure foundation. It renews our minds. God's word must be hid in our heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Pray, and pray some more. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Breathe prayer. There is no challenge too big or too small for God. But there is more to prayer than just the aspect of petitioning and relying on God for help and direction. Very important, that is. But prayer and reading God's word is about relationship with God. It's communing with Him and building a sure foundation. It's establishing God in our life. Surrender to God. This is very similar to obedience, our next point, and related to the other points as well. Because as we establish God in our life, we are surrendering our lives to Him. They're saying yes to God and no to anything other contrary. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Another very important point of a sure foundation is obedience to God. As we read God's word and we commune with Him in prayer, He will reveal His will to us. We then must put it into action. Inconsistencies create cracks and crevices, and we might patch them up with sand if we're thinking about that Bible story, hardly visible. Maybe eventually we get tired of that too and just smooth it all over with sand, like the foolish man. Obedience is from start to finish, or things will begin to fall apart. Obedience is thorough. Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Establishing God in our life is the only sure foundation for fathers passing on a legacy of faith. If we think otherwise, we will be disappointed. 1 Corinthians 3:10-11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Stop there. In our concern and desire for passing on a legacy of faith, let's remember it's not our great work or our great legacy. It's a legacy of the great Father Himself. fathers, make God your priority, your ultimate priority. Read his word. Pray continuously. Commune with him. Surrender, obey, and keep on. As we do that, it really gives us something we can share and impact others' lives and impart in their life. Impart the faith diligently. That's our next point. Those verses we read in Deuteronomy about making the word of God part of our life shows also how it then becomes part of our family, part of our family life. Teach them diligently. When thou sittest, when thou walkest, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Some fathers are so gifted, and I see it, and I'm blessed by it, when a father can stop what he is doing and patiently listen and explain. Maybe you don't struggle with impatience or exasperation like I do sometimes, but I don't believe that our children are going to be receptive to what we have to teach if we don't have time for them in the small things of life too. There are times where we may have to tell a child to wait or to be quiet, but more often for myself anyway, is that I really just need to stop and take the time that I need. Take the time out of our busy lifestyle for them. We have all heard it from older fathers. I'm sure they will say, take the time. You will never get it back. I said earlier some fathers are gifted. Well, I think it's something we must purpose and do. It does not just happen by itself or by nature. We as men and fathers don't always do too well with multitasking, probably most of the time. So teaching and working and doing our life sounds great, but teaching at the same time won't come naturally, if ever. But the more we become familiar with God and have him part of our life, as we talked about it in the first point, the more natural it will become and the more second nature it will become, you could say. More is caught than taught. We are familiar with that saying, Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Fathers who keep God first in their life are a lesson in themselves. So much of who God is and what he has done, what he has to offer to mankind, is exemplified through fathers. Fathers with a heart of love and compassion give a twofold gift to their children. I also want to say here that even if your earthly father does not feel that in your life, you have a heavenly father who can and who will walk close to you and help you feel the love that you need. Imparting the faith is something we must purpose just as much as we purpose in our personal life. As we think about the prodigal son and the elder son in that story, we see a father who cares and is purposeful. He pursued his son, not in the way of overriding his choices, but he waited for his younger son to come back. He waited expectantly for him, and when he did come back, he was there for him and treated him as his son. Pursue your children. Show them they are part of the family and that you love them. Keep the relationships with your children and restore the relationships that may be destroyed. The father in this story also stepped aside with the eldest son. You don't have to be a father for long and you will begin to see that every child is different. There are struggles in different areas and we need to meet them and understand their hearts. Hear them out. This all starts, I do believe, at a very young age and taking the time for them in little things like we were talking about earlier. There will be differences in personalities, differences in struggles, and differences in ages and so on, but there is one thing your child really needs, and they all crave for the same. It's a father's love. That desire for love, that bond is a huge advantage, or perhaps just say a huge blessing and gift from God that he gives to the fathers. It is a real blessing, but when we take fatherhood and we live it out as God commands, it's such a powerful tool for God's glory. It does things in hearts that other things can't fill. Fathers, let's pursue our children. Pursue their hearts by being there for them. Imparting faith means we must step up as spiritual leaders in the home. Who do you think of as a spiritual example of godly leadership in a home? hopefully we all can think of our own fathers. But I'm thinking from scripture examples. First one I had to think of was Job. And turn to Job 1 if you like. Job 1, I'll read verses 1 through 5. Job 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. There we have it again, how a godly father must first have his life in order. A godly father will lead out in the home. Family worship, prayer, singing together should be a part of our family practice. No, we cannot make the choices for our children, but we can give them a bedrock and a foundation while they are young. And as they get older, we keep on being there for them, showing and teaching them God's word. I do believe that intercession to God for children really is the greatest work and gift that we can do for our children for a lifetime. It is just as important when they are young and tender as it is when they are older and not so much in our grasp, you could say, when they are making decisions and choices of their own. No, we cannot be accountable for their actions, but we will be accountable to God for our intercession for them. We will be accountable to God for our influence to them. Job did this continually, it says. Did he do this out of fear, or did he do this out of love and concern? I think we know the answer to that, but the reason I mention this is that I think the tendency to become fearful and worried only gets worse as our children grow older. Intercede for them, and trust God can work in their hearts. Trust God to do the work. He will do a whole lot better job of it than we can. God can change the heart. And if we have a father's heart, we are not going to get in the way of God's work. Affirm our children. This example is taken from our Heavenly Father when he said to his son Jesus, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." If we are embarrassed of our children, they will not feel the love and acceptance that they need to feel. Our children need to know we love them, no matter what. Right along with craving love from a father, a child wants approval from a father. Give it where we can give it, and give it with honesty and not some form of pretense. Maybe you could say the example of Jesus isn't a good example because he was a perfect son. Well, we ourselves as fathers are imperfect, so that equals it out, I suppose. We walk with them in their pain. We walk with them in their sorrow. We walk with them when they need to make things right. Our children are our sons and our daughters, and we love it. We walk with them as a father in the principles of God's word. So many, if not all, of the relationship details are critical at the very start, even at a very young age, if we expect for there to be a good relationship when they are older. When we discipline and correct, there must always be love. The Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go. We are to correct our children. The Bible also says we are to love them. Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Showing them love and correction and discipline may seem like a hard thing to do, but it really is affirming them and bringing them security when done from a heart of love. I keep referring back to taking the time for your child. If the only time we spend one-on-one with a child is when we are correcting them, they're going to have difficulty believing and feeling the love that we have for them. Perhaps closeness to us may turn into fear if closeness always is only bringing punishment. Give them affirmation, as we said earlier, by taking the time for them and show them you love them. Tell them that you love them. Give them the hugs they need and crave for. We need it too, don't we? When things start to tip the other direction and they do more things on their own, that affirmation and love that we show them may begin to tell by how much they have time for us. The Bible calls children to honor and obedience, to listen and respect. But there is just as high of a calling to the fathers. And not that we try to put a value on it, but provoke not your children to wrath. If we live consistent scriptural lives, they will not need to make difficult decisions when they are older that may feel like they are dishonoring us. Provoke not your children to wrath. Start at a young age. Fathers, we are inadequate, but I do believe that God will help us fulfill that role that we are called to fill. God is our Father, and He walks with us. He affirms us as we walk in His love. As we think of the legacy of a father, it's been obvious as we've been moving through this sermon that we are passing it on. Sometimes we use the term passing the mantle or passing the torch. I suppose one of the biggest things on my heart is, how do we enable the next generation? How do we really do this? To some fathers, it may look like their children are not catching the vision, but the very same children may see inconsistencies and say that they cannot follow in their father's footsteps. This can create a struggle and strain on relationships. Sometimes the children may be right, fathers. Sometimes the fathers are right, children. All the practical answers to this, I'm not sure if I have or really know, and it would be interesting to hear your input on it. I think we could have a good discussion. But a couple of things I think we must hold clear in our minds that will help us. God is a perfect father. Learn from the father. This goes to the fathers and to the sons and the daughters. Recognize our humanity and take the lessons that His word teaches us as fathers, sons, and daughters. There are warnings in the scripture for both sides of the fence, you could say. Jeremiah 35 tells the story of the Rechabites and how Jonadab took a very significant stand and his children followed for generations. God blessed him for that. His children honored that. We also could look at a host of other scriptures that God specifically says, do not do as your fathers did. Learn from their mistakes and make a difference. Here's to the reason for going to God and the scriptures. Let's fill the roles that God has asked of us, but not at the cost of compromise and twisting of scripture to enhance our personal purposes. Ephesians 3, some verses there. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Explore the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. The ways of God are wonderful, and fathers, let's pick up the role that He has given to us and show the love of the Father to our children. Bless them with God's love. Psalm 78, verse 5, for He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should also arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Fathers, it's a command of God. Point our children to God, the Father of all. Give them a worthy legacy. It's a legacy that can stand the ages of time and into eternity. I have a poem I want to read here in closing. Don't have the writer of it. The title is God's Love for Fathers. A father's hands may carry scars from long, hard days and silent wars, from holding burdens, standing strong, still praying even when hope feels gone. God sees the weight a father bears, the hidden tears, the whispered prayers, the nights he stayed, the dreams he laid aside so his family would not be afraid. A father's love reflects God's own, steady, faithful, fiercely known, not perfect, no, but deeply true, a love that keeps showing through. God walks beside the weary man who wonders if he's enough to stand, and heaven smiles when fathers choose to love like Christ in all they do. For every lesson softly taught, every battle bravely fought, every time he gave his best while carrying pain inside his chest, God was there in every part, strengthening a father's heart, because the world may never see how sacred fatherhood can be. To the fathers trying still through broken roads and uphill hills, may you remember day by day God's love for you will never fade. And when your children speak your name, may they see grace more than fame, for the greatest gift a father can do is show his children the heart of you. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are our Father and that we can look to you for wisdom and direction, not just for fathers, but for all of us. Thank you for being there for us. We pray that you would be with all the children, bless them, be with the fathers today as we think of our responsibility. And also, we thank you for the mothers. We thank you for our grandparents. Lord, we pray most of all that your word would go forth. Pray for those who are lost. Pray that you would work in their heart and life. And bless us with safety this week, physically, but most of all, spiritually. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.